But what I want to talk to you about this morning, first of all, I want to say, if you didn't know this, Pastor Jeff is not my dad. I just want to say that, because sometimes that happens, but Pastor Jeff's not here today, and so we're going crazy, doing all kinds of crazy stuff. You know, when dad's not home, that's when the party happens. But also, my parents are not here either, so we're gonna have so much fun. I can talk about them. They probably won't even listen to this. We'll see. But can I ask, let me ask you this. Have anybody here been in a fight before? I'm talking fists ablazing. There's like smoke and there's fire coming out of your eyes. And there may be a little bit of blood is swapped and you got dirt. Anybody? Show of hands. You've been in that kind of fight before? Now keep your hands raised. Keep your hands raised if you won that fight. If you won, you're all liars. You didn't win that fight. I'm just kidding. Well, for me, let me tell you, I got in a fight once. I was a senior in high school. I graduated. My parents threw me a grad party. And all my friends came, and, you know, they are the ones that stay later. So we're around this fire. We're hanging out, sharing stories. And I had a friend who, our relationship was strained. It probably wasn't the best of relationships. And what happened, unfortunately, is that my girlfriend at the time had said something snarky to one of his comments, and he took offense to me. I mean, I was ready to break up with her anyway, so I didn't care. But now he's got anything that happened in the past, he's now bringing up because of something somebody else said. So he said, can I talk to you? And I'm like, sure. And he pulls me off to the side of my parents' barn, and we're sitting there, and he's getting pretty agitated, you know? Like, you ever, like, have somebody mad at you, but you're not mad, so you're like, hold on a second, this person's mad. You know, like, there's, like, fire coming from their eyes, and they're starting to get sweats, and this person was doing that. He's starting to get really angry. I'm like, oh, Lord. I could see it happening, but I wasn't upset, so I'm like, I'm okay, you know? And he's telling me all these mean things, but all of a sudden, this is the pivotal moment. He did this. And when somebody squares up like that with you, you know it's about to go down, right? Somebody squares up because that's their throwing arm. So they're coming down the throwdown, and you're right there like, oh, no. So I could see it coming. And all of a sudden, he cocks back. And when he goes, I'm like Matrix style. Boom, and I totally dodge it. And I didn't want to get hit again, so I tackle him, and I got him on the ground. Now, this dude's a big dude. He's been working in landscaping that whole summer, and it was a lot skinnier than I am now. We're going back 11 years ago. So I have him in a headlock, and I'm calm. He's crazy, and I'm like, hey, calm down, man, calm down. And he doesn't want to calm down. That's not part of what he wants to do at that moment. So I finally got him a little bit calmed down. I let him up. He comes up. He's looking at me again, and he punches me. It was a sucker punch. I thought he was calmed down. He wasn't, obviously. He punched me right in the mouth. So what did I do? I punched him right back, right? How many of you know when your dad told you, because this is what happened. He's laying on the ground, and I may or may not have spit somewhere in the vicinity of his area. It was not a great moment in my life. And I got back, and I told my dad sees my face all bloody. He's like, what happened? I'm like, so-and-so tried to fight me. He's like, did you hit him back? I said, yeah. He's a good boy. Now, how many have been raised that way, right? Show of hands. You've been raised that when somebody's fighting you, you fight back. Well, you might not like me too much today because this message isn't just for you. It's for me. It's something that the Lord's been placing on my heart heavy over the last couple of months. And here's the deal. I'm going to be preaching out of the Bible, right? But I'm going to be showing you things that Jesus said. Not Josh Whippy. These are Jesus' words. So here we are. If you got your Bibles, turn to Matthew 5, verse 43. We're going to pick up there. Now, here's the deal. There's so many times in life that we read these words and we say, he couldn't really be talking to me, right? But he is. This is a Sermon on the Mount. He was speaking to the multitudes, people who followed him, and he's trying so desperately to communicate his heart to them. So I'm right now, as I read this, picture Jesus saying this to you, okay? Matthew 5, verse 43. says, "You have heard that it was said, 'Love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I tell you to love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are you not even are not even the tax collectors doing that?" Let's just stop there. I want to start with this first initial phrase this here, and it's this: you have heard it said. You have heard that it was said. So I think a lot of times we skip over this, right? We hear that, we see that, and we're like, okay, he's just saying what they have heard. But I want you to think about this. Why is Jesus saying, "You have heard that it was said"? And sometimes I'm wondering, you got to ask yourself, does it really say in the Bible to love your neighbor and hate your enemy? Does it say that in the Torah? Does it say that in the Old Testament? Does it say that? So I did a little researching and I looked. I came upon this verse in the Old Testament in Exodus. It says, "If you come upon your enemy's ox or donkey that has strayed away, take it back to its owner." Right? Take it back to its owner. "If you see the donkey of someone who hates you falling down under its load, do not leave it there, but be sure to help him with it." That sounds a lot like love, not like hate, doesn't it? So I thought, well, maybe there's something else. I came across this here in Proverbs 25:21. "If your enemies are hungry, give them food to eat. If they are thirsty, give them water to drink." See, that sounds a lot like love. That doesn't sound like hate at all. So why is Jesus saying, "You have heard it said," when in fact the law doesn't actually say anything about that? Because this is what's going on. Some of you guys have read, we're reading through the Bible, and some of you gave up in Leviticus. I understand. It's tough. But hopefully you can continue going. I had to catch back up recently. But if you're going through there with Leviticus 19, you'll see a whole thing about loving your neighbor. Anybody remember that? Loving your neighbor. So what happened at the time, Jesus is saying, "You have heard that it was said," because the Pharisees, the teachers of the law at that time, were interpreting neighbor to be somebody who agrees with you, somebody who's of the same kind of mindset, the nationality, the religious, the same religion or same like-minded about social issues. So the Pharisees are saying at this point, they're saying, listen, you love those who agree with you, but you hate those who disagree with you. You love your people, your neighbor. That's how they're interpreting the word neighbor. You guys got me? Am I making sense? And Jesus is saying, no. You've heard that it was taught. You've heard that it was said to love your neighbor, but hate your enemy. To love the person who agrees with you, but hate the person who disagrees with you. He's trying to say that they took it out, they're taking this portion out of Scripture and they're actually teaching you wrong. But can I tell you something this morning? Not much has changed. Not much has changed. Think about it. We tend to think all the time, I'm going to love the person who loves me and I'm going to hate the guy who hates me. Come on, this isn't rocket science, folks. This is how we work as our human minds work and our emotions. This is where we come from, right? I'm going to like the people who like me and I'm going to hate the people who don't like me, right? That's why you hang out with people you like and you tend to snub your nose or say bad things about the people you don't like. This is just, you can go back to high school, you can go back to your job, you're probably hanging out and loving the people that are nice to you at work, right? So if any high school students in the room, you're probably nice to the people who like you, but the person who's not liked you, you know, you might tell them they're number one. Some of you got that, some of you didn't. So I can see Jesus right here. I can see him talking to us and saying, you have heard it said to love people who agree with you on politics and hate anybody who doesn't. I can hear him saying, you love people. You've heard it say to love people who agree with you on your opinion of marriage and hate anyone who disagrees with your opinion. I can hear him saying, you love people who agree with you or are in the same faith as you, but if they're a different faith, you have heard that it's said that you can hate them. But our radical Savior is telling us to love our enemies. To love our enemies. Think about how radical this is for a moment. Love those who are against you. Love those that aren't only the ones that agree with you, but love those who aren't in agreement with you. I read this and I go, what? Does he mean that? Does Jesus really mean that? Because that's really hard, right? That's hard. That's not easy. This is hard. But can I tell you this? That's hard, but hate is easy. Hate is so easy. Just because it's easy does not mean it's beneficial for you. I'm trying to lose a little bit of weight. I'm not doing so great this week. It's been a bad week. But I'm telling you, I've learned from experience that it's a lot easier to not do the diet than it is to work out and do the diet. It's a lot easier for me not to work out, but rather sit there on the couch with my pants unbuckled, eating a bag of chips, you know what I mean, and asking Adeline to go bring me another pop, okay? That is a lot easier, right? But it's not beneficial. It's not good for you to be that way and not be healthy, okay? It's not good for you. I could eat a bag of Doritos. Let me tell you, I can eat a bag of Doritos like nobody's business. You know what I mean? You put Top Chef on, give me a bag of Doritos. I'm just sitting, and it's easy, and it's fun, and I like it, but it's not beneficial. I'm telling you, the same thing is with love. It's hard. We're so quick to ignore these tough sayings of Jesus because they're difficult. We just say, well, that's really hard. I'll just skip over that one. We'll get there later. Jesus is challenging us. He's challenging people like us to take the harder road, to fight ourselves and not others, to fight that sinful nature inside that says, I'm going to punch that guy right back in the face. Now, I'm going to tell you this, that some of you right now are thinking, well, listen, you know, I don't hate. I don't do those types of things. You probably do. You might do it in a different way. You might not be the aggressor that's like there, that's punching somebody in the face, but you might be the person that's back talking, saying awful things about people, you know, gossip. You may be the type of person that does the silent treatment. You may be those types of people. Those are all different ways that aren't loving. And Jesus is commanding us, Christians, to follow him and be different than the world. If you remember in the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, he says, you are the light to the world. In contrast, as Christians, we are supposed to be different. That means that we don't do things the same way that the world does things, right? Can I get a yeah? I'll do what Jeff does. I don't know if they're hearing me, Lord. I don't know if they're hearing me. Jesus started out this whole sermon explaining that. And even in this passage where it says, if you remember, it says, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Don't even the pagans do that? Jesus is calling us to be different, to be different. We should be striving to find his ways. It talks about, at the end of that, it says, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, that's another one where we're like, well, I'm not perfect. I'm not going to even try. He's saying, please try. That's what he's saying. You're not going to be perfect, but try. Don't sit there and just be like, I can't do it, so I can guess that one doesn't apply to me. That's not what he's saying, folks. He's saying strive, because love is never easy. Our culture has fantasized about love, haven't they? I mean, I got a 4-year-old daughter. Adeline turns 4 on Tuesday. And she likes Disney, you know? Any of you watch Disney? Oh, it's all about feelings, isn't it? He's my prince. I just love him. I love him. I love you forever. And there's all these songs about love and stuff like that. But can I tell you, that is not love. That feeling, those butterflies, that's not love. Love is something that's hard to do. It's difficult to love. It's hard to love. And if any of you have been married for a considerable amount of time, you know what I'm saying. Right? It's hard. It's difficult. It's challenging. It's not about your feelings. You're not going to feel like loving somebody who hates you. Okay? If you're asking God, give me this magical power, it's not going to happen. That doesn't exist, okay? He's literally going to say, it was hard for me to be on the cross too, buddy, you know? But we're like, oh, Lord, just give me the power to love people. It's going to be you making the decision. Listen, too many times in Christianity, we just ask for God just to fix stuff, but we don't want to do any work. We don't want to do anything to it. We just want it to happen. Lord, we want God to fix our finances, but we don't want to actually budget. We want God to do this, but we want... Come on now. You know, I mean, this is how we work. This is how things are. Love isn't easy. Our culture has said it is. And I know some of you are saying, listen, I know you said, I don't hate, I don't do that. How do you respond when somebody is against you? We're in the middle of an election year, in case you didn't know. Democrats versus Republicans, Democrats versus Democrats, Republicans versus Republicans. I am so sick and tired of people seeing people who are against a certain person, like against Hillary or Bernie, and calling the other supporters idiots. I am so disgusted with people being a Trump supporter and then bashing other people. Or I'm so sick of people that are hateful towards Trump just as much as they're saying he's being hateful. Come on now. Where are we going? Like, is that what Jesus wanted for us? For us all to be fighting and for us to be just like the rest of the world? Are you aligning to a political party or are you aligning to the kingdom of God? I'm not saying don't vote. I'm not saying don't care. I'm saying you don't sit there and start throwing hate bombs to other people. I'm so sick of this because here's the truth. If we hate the haters, doesn't that make us haters? If we hate the haters, that makes us haters, folks. We're like, those people are so stupid or hateful or awful people. You're just the same now. Jesus is calling you to be different. He's calling you to love when you want to hate. In our culture, so many people saying, we need to love people, you know? And they're all talking about the idea. But apart from Jesus, it's impossible. Apart from God, it's impossible. Because as soon as you go against them on something, watch out, the hate bomb's coming your way. Be different. Be the light of the world. Don't hate. You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. And if anybody slaps you on the right cheek, then turn the other cheek too. So if our natural reaction is to hate back, right? That's our natural reaction, to do what I did at the beginning, punch that guy right back. If that's our natural reaction, then how do we love? Right? That's what some of you are like, how do I do that? I'm going to tell you, it's in this verse here. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Listen, the how is in the and. The how is in the and. How do I pray for these people? Or how do I love these people? It's in the and. It's saying, I'm going to pray for them. That's how you love them, is you pray for them. Some of you aren't getting it. I'll explain. Jesus says we love them and we pray for them. Why? Because when we pray for people, we quickly get God's heart for them. Because your heart is already screwed up, right? You already hate them. You don't have any love in your heart. That's not happening. Have a little love in your heart. It's not there. That doesn't exist. There ain't no love. So you're saying, God, I am praying for this person because I want your heart for that person, not my own. Mine is all screwed up and messed up, and it's not what you see through there. And I want to see things through your eyes, not my own. Right? Isn't that where we're at? Listen. It's really funny because Paul says it in Romans 12:14. He says, bless those who hurt you. Bless those. Pray. Bless. I can see some of you guys being like, well, I'll pray for them to get diarrhea. I'll pray for him to see the error of his ways. And that's what we do, right? We don't pray blessings. We pray, God, will you turn them away from what they're doing and let them fall flat on their face? Let something bad happen to them. I mean, that's really the spirit that we're coming at, right? We're not saying, God, I want your eyes. I want your heart for these people. We're saying, I want my heart. I want my eyes. I want what I want to be done. My will, not yours. Guys, we got to be careful with this, folks. We have to be careful with doing this. Bless those. bless those, ask for financial blessings, ask for marital blessings, ask for them to come into the kingdom of God. Listen, all the sin and stuff like that is going to get sorted out. We got to trust in that. We got to trust. Listen, if we condemn them before that we love them, then we're just questioning the validity of God's power to change them. If we condemn them before we love them, then we are already questioning the validity of God's power to change them. That's what we're doing. That's where we're at. So my question is, if Jesus loves them, if God loves them, why don't you? If God died on the cross, if we really rest in that, John 3:16, what is it? Come on. For he loved the whole world. Not just you. So if we're sitting there and thinking that he died on the cross for people like us when we were in filthy rags, but we're not going to love those that he died for, what are we doing here anymore? I mean, we're so focused on this election, we're so focused on all these things happening that we're losing sight of God's plan for humanity. I want to be, this is my heart, okay? Number one in my life, I want to be a child of God. I want to be in his kingdom first, and then the other things. Because if it gets out of order, it doesn't work. We pledge allegiance to him, and then you have your civil duties as an American. If God loves the people you can't stand, why don't you? But can I say maybe it's because we're not spending that time with him? Maybe it's because we're not submitting ourselves to him. I find it funny that when Jesus has these moments of, because some of you are like, well, it wasn't very loving when he said, you brood of vipers. It wasn't very loving when he flipped the tables. That was against his people. That was against people like us in this room. He was calling them out. But he didn't react that way to the sinner. He didn't react that way to the person that did not accept Jesus, did not subscribe to his ways. He said that for the people who were saying that they were talking for God. That's us. Listen, God is incredibly patient with us. But when we got sin and we're Christians and we're just living in it, like it's no problem, like I don't care if I have hate, I don't care, there's a problem. And he's going to deal with us accordingly, okay? Like he did in Scripture. But don't get it confused, because so many times you think that the fight is against them, right? Well, it's against them. Their morals are all screwed up, and this is how they are, and I can't believe that they're trying to do this now. They're the enemy. They're not the enemy. Some of you guys see that. Ephesians 6:12. Check this out. Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts and wickedness in heavenly places. Listen, why are we making the fight against flesh and blood when it says it's not against flesh and blood? Why are we taking our time trying to fight people when it's not against people? It's against, let me say it again, it's against principalities, against powers, against the rulers and darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. That is where the fight is. When you're fighting, don't fight the people, fight the source. Fighting against people who disagree with you, fighting against people who hurt you, get your mind right, because you're actually fighting against the will of God. If you're fighting people, if we're hateful to non-Christians, people who don't see things the same way we do, people who don't subscribe to the same things, listen, it's supposed to be that way. We're the light to the world. We're the light in the darkness. They don't act like Christians because they're not. I don't get it. Why do we get so upset with people for not acting like Christians when they have not come into the light? And if we're just throwing hate bombs on them, if we're being evil towards them and hurtful towards them, we're not following through what Jesus asked us to do. We're following through with our own agenda. Well, my kids, I want my kids. Listen, I want my kids to live in a good land too. I want there to be moral justice. I want there to be, I don't want abortions to happen anymore. I think it's disgusting. I want those things to change just as much as you guys do too. But the way to do that is by fighting and through prayer and fighting the source of where those things come from. You were there once too. And he saved you. Lord, forgive us. We fight them through the same power that raised Christ from the dead that lives within inside of us. That's what we fight them with. Not them, them. You're a carrier of his presence. And here's what's crazy. The same God that we worship here is the same God that while he was on the cross said, Lord, while he was beaten and destroyed, while they sat there and mocked him and spat on him, he didn't punch, he didn't fight back. He said, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That is the God that we serve. That is the God that we serve. So why do we try to get it into our own hands? Why are we trying to fight this thing on our own? I don't know about you, but I want his heart. I want his mind. I want what he wants. I want to see the masses come before him. And that's how our revival is going to change. Listen, I'm not trying to put a band-aid on things and make laws, and you can't do this, can't do that. I want to see revival happen in America. I want to see revival happen because I don't care anymore about what they're doing, sin this, that, and the other. I don't care. I don't care. All I care about is what God's doing with inside of me and that I want to be a carrier of his presence. I want to see revival happen. But it's not going to happen through a presidential candidate. It's not going to happen from a debate on Facebook. It's not going to happen through those things. We got to be careful, folks. The number one thing I want people to know about me is not that of my party affiliation. It's not of what where my stance is on this, that, and the other about social justices or the death penalty. The number one thing that I want people to know about me this Tuesday is that I love Jesus and I'm a child of God. That's the number one thing. If they look at me and say, well, he's just a diehard Republican, he's a diehard Democrat, whatever. I don't want to be known for that. I want to be known for somebody who's not perfect, but tries really hard and wants to do what the king is doing. I don't care who's president. I don't care who wins. He's still king. And his plan's going to happen. We get all upset, and, you know, that's where a lot of this hate comes. You know, we don't want to call it hate, but let's call it frustration, right? That's what we call it. I'm just frustrated. All that happens because we don't trust. All that happens because we're not really sure if that's what's going to go. Can I tell you, the best place to go isn't on Facebook, isn't on your cell phone, it isn't talking to your friend, it's going straight to him. When you're sitting there and you're scared and you're wondering what's going to happen, oh my gosh, I can't wait, is Hillary going to be indicted or not? When all that's happening, go straight to the source. Go straight to the source, your king. Pray to your king, the king of kings, the one who established the whole world. If he wanted us to fight, he would have said it, right? My Bible doesn't say that anywhere. But we like to make it that way. Let's stand. Can we do that? Andy, I'm going to ask you to come if you're here. I don't know where he is. I want to read something to you. If Andy's not here, maybe Bridget or Heidi or somebody. Or anybody. I want to read something to you that I felt strongly that the Lord wanted us to hear. And this came a lot from when I was in that Thriving in Babylon series that we were in, and I'm thinking, man, that was such a great series, wasn't it? It really was. It was awesome. But I was reading in 1 Corinthians. And a lot of you have heard this in weddings. You've probably heard it. You've probably read it, and you've heard it in different facets. But I want you to think about it in this light of when we're talking about enemies and when we're talking about people who are against us, who hurt us. And I want to tell you this, because listen, I just read the other day. This is crazy. The ISIS things that are happening, I just read this the other day. Probably won't see it in mainstream media. But there's incredible revival happening in Muslims converting to Christianity because Jesus appeared to them in a dream. Watch out now. Google it. Go home. Google it. Be encouraged. There's incredible things happening. Media is not going to tell you, but I'm telling you, when you get with the source and you get to his game plan of how to handle these situations, man, crazy stuff is happening. I'm telling you right now. And he wants to do crazy things in arcade. 1 Corinthians 13, just close your eyes and listen to this. If I speak in the tongues of men or angels, but I do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all the mysteries and knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, it always preserves. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. And where there are tongues, they will be stilled. And where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know that in part, that prophecy in part. But when completeness comes, when the part disappears, when I, like a child, talk like a child, thought like a child, reason like a child, when I became a man, I put away the ways of a childhood behind me. For now, we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part that I shall know fully as I am fully known. And these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. I know this is a sobering thing, and it is for me too, because I'm sitting here thinking all the things I've done wrong in these areas. Of all the times I've said things that I wish I didn't say, because out of reaction, that's where out of the mouth the heart speaks. And there's times where I say things because I don't trust him. There's times where I take the matter and I take the steering wheel into my own hands because I think I know it's better. And then I end up screwing it all up. I'm not saying that you have to be buddy-buddy with these people and frolic along Route 39 together. I'm not saying you even have to be Facebook friends. But what I'm saying is, if we have hate, there's no room for love. And the only way to get that is by going to the source and asking for his heart for those people. Some of you have been hurt and you're like, I can't love that person. Forgiveness is not for them, it's for you. Where's your heart? Are you bitter? Are you angry? Are you hateful? I just feel like the Lord wants to minister. We're going to have some prayer people up. If you're praying for people, we just come forward today. And as they're coming forward, listen, if you're here today, I'm going to ask that you just put your hand up in the air. If you're like, man, that's me. I need it. I want it. God, give it to me. I'm telling you, he is faithful. He is faithful. Right now, all around this room, let's just start lifting up those people who have hurt us. Forgive them. Let's just put our hands in the air if that's you. Say, God, help me. Help me, Lord. Lord, I forgive that person who hurt me. Lord, I forgive my enemies. Lord, I don't feel like loving them, but God, I want to love them because you love them. Lord, will you give me your heart for those people? Give me your heart for those people, not my heart, God. My heart is already screwed up. Lord, give me your heart. Let me see things through your eyes. Mine have cataracts. I can't do it, Lord. I need to look through your perfect eyes. You can see things that we can't see. You can do things that we can't do. So we're going to you because we got nowhere else to go. Lord, we just ask you right now. Lord, Holy Spirit, do your ministry. Do your work right now, Lord. Some of you have had husbands do things terrible to you, wives who have done things, fathers who have done things. And you're sitting there and you're wrestling. I'm telling you right now, he's saying, That's easy. That's easy. That's easy. You have family members who have hurt you. You have coworkers who have thrown you out. Do what he's asking you to do, because it's better. It's beneficial. You've been in this thing for too long. Some of you have been in this thing for too long, and you're just like, I've had enough. Listen, this area is open. I'm just going to open it now. If that's you, just come forward. Don't even waste. Don't hesitate. Oh, maybe I'll do it next week. You won't. Just do it now, because God's trying to do something in your life. He's trying to bring things out, because I'm telling you, if you're feeling that, he's saying to you, I want to use you for revival. I want to use you for the things I have for you. And that's where we trust. We say, I can't do it, God, but you can. Lord, help us. Help us, God. Help us, Lord, to love those that we disagree with. Give us your heart for them. We trust in you, God. We trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen.